For example, solar powers and solar panels. Are there plans to install solar panels at the GW Wedge, and I guess, or anywhere else that's a large building? Is the government right to leave so much to the market? Should it be driving policy on future energy? Nuclear power, is that the answer? It's been a big debate recently, hasn't it? And clearly we're going to go down the nuclear route again, I would suggest. And why, you know, is there a sort of taxation on biodiesel, which is apparently kinder to the climate? So thank you for those questions. From each of the panel then, where should we go for the energy of the future? When the coal, when the oil runs out, is it solar power, is it nuclear power?
Well, I'm very worried about nuclear power, irrespective of its effect on the climate, which is a problem of waste, and I'm looking at it extremely carefully. It's not a result of science yet at all. Personally, I would far rather see a much more vigorous commitment to renewables than we've seen. I think they should be central to our energy policy, really very much earlier. I mean, there are problems with some of the most obviously accessible renewables, like wind power, solar power is very important. I cannot actually, for the life of me, really understand why places like Swindon, which is building here, 2,000 new houses a year, few of which were affordable, most of which were actually quite expensive, the marginal cost of actually making zero emissions is very small.
One thing I would say that is something that we need to think a bit about, and the idea of biofuels, which are in some parts of the world actually being used quite a lot. One has to be careful there, because the acreage that you need for these is a real risk to biodiversity, is a real risk to quite large changes in the way we use land. So when we talk about anthropogenic climate change, we're not actually talking entirely about emissions, we're actually also talking about the way in which we change the land and cut down trees. You see that all the time. Change, the way we use land affects the local and global climate system. And we do factor that into our projections. So when we start talking about things like biofuels, that's going to have to be something we'll have to look very carefully at, because as a serious alternative energy source, they could really imply quite significant changes in land use and water use. But things go on, they have to be thought of through very, very carefully.
What you're saying, Keith, you're not meant to speak into the microphone a little bit more than you should have. What you're saying is that you haven't got a clear direction of where we should be going on generating a new fuel for the future, because your models are more different than that. When you come to talk to people, you're not giving a clear message of where we should be going on this fuel. Because you're saying biofuels are not a good idea. I doubt whether you like nuclear power, and you probably don't like the use of fossil fuels. So where do you think you're coming from?
I'm a climate scientist. What I know about is the science of the climate system. I may have my personal views on what we should do, and I'm not going to express them at the time. But we do try with our climate models to cover a very broad range of possible scenarios of different types of emissions, different types of land use, so that when we get asked what are the benefits, say, going for a difficult scenario for people to manage, or one that's more generous and doesn't need too many changes, what are the effects likely to be on the climate regionally, locally, and so forth? That's what we're here to do. We don't try and be economists, we don't try and be engineers or anything like that. But we take that advice, and it's done at a very high level, it's taken very, very seriously. So you're supposed to be a member of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. It will report again early next year. This will be their first report for about 7 years. That panel, which is very high level, it's an intergovernmental panel, that panel has described the emission scenarios that we use. They are what we consider the best advice we can get from international experts on what we think the socioeconomic outlook will be for the global system. So it's very, very complex.
Okay. And Ben Lindley says, you know, when the government pretends to be concerned about CO2 emissions, why is it taxing sort of green fuels like biodiesel, for example? And do you see that as lacking in a commitment to developing alternatives? Or is it simply the fact that you want to go down a nuclear way and that can solve the problems in the future?
I think on the biodiesel, the government has actually cut the tax so much on the CO2, so that has got to be recognised.
Why doesn't it eliminate tax on that? Well, why doesn't it just decide that's good for the climate, that's a good way to go, let's not tax it?
You want to change people's behaviour, you can do that. You have to find tax money somewhere else. So obviously there has to be balance there. I'd like to do more, and I'm sure that we'll hear more about that in the future, because I know that the levels of government are concerned about this and do want to change people's behaviour. I think there are a number of other issues that were brought up about solar panels and that sort of thing. Now, I think what Julia said is that there's a downside to everything that's to many of the solutions which seem to be easy. And I think solar panels is one of those as well, because if you're not careful, you can actually use more energy, I think, if you put putting in solar panels than you actually save.
But one of the things. I can't allow that.
This
is rubbish. Well, the International Energy Report that shows that carbon use in producing solar panels is repaid within the first 1 to 5 years of operation.
It's not the repayment, it's the fitting in of how much energy you use and putting that in. To balance that up, and if what you're saying is right, that's great, but that's not what I was told, that's not the information I was given on this. Now, the other issue that I was going to bring up is that actually we need to look at the buildings when we build them rather than when we adapt them afterwards and what we can do. And the National Trust building in Swindon is a shining example of what you can do with absolutely excellent design. Because they do not have air conditioning there, I don't know if anybody has been inside the National Trust building, but during the height of the summer it was a very pleasant place to be without air conditioning. Now, I think there is a huge issue for us in Swindon because we have lots of new building coming along, and what has been very wasteful in the past of energy has been the lifespan of buildings that were put up in the 60s and 70s, which only have 30 years lifespan, which I think is incredibly wasteful. So if we're looking at using resources, I want us to stop doing that. And I think this is where government plays a role in insisting that buildings have a longer lifespan and that there are higher regulations for buildings to reach with regard to the environmental impact of the actual building as it's being built and the building once it is built. On the issue of nuclear power, I completely agree with Mike about that we need to put more emphasis on renewables. I'm extremely concerned about our reliance on gas and gas-fired power stations and the amount of emissions. I suspect that we will have to look again at nuclear. I hope that we don't have to, but if we're going to cut our emissions in the way that we all know that we're going to have, go further and faster, as Mark and others have told us, then I think it may be inevitable that we have to look at nuclear. But I would agree
with that.
I'm being honest with you, that's an honest point.
Can I have a show of hands? Who would advocate going down the nuclear, leaving the power grid? Does anyone think that's the best solution? So quite a lot of you would not go down that route.